Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Monday to you. How was church yesterday? My, we had a marvelous Lord's Day here at Bible Baptist Church and a great start to the month of June. And boy, the summertime is with us, but it didn't hurt us yesterday at all. A wonderful spirit, great crowd, decisions made for Christ, and just a great, great Lord's Day with the people of God. I hope you had a good Sunday where you were and that you were in your place. You were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and that God met with you and spoke to your heart and gave you what you needed here on the Lord's Day as we head into a new work week now, and we head into the first full week of June. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit today from Acts chapter 18. If you're near where you can get to a Bible, that's great. If you're just driving in the car or whatever, listen up. Acts 18, I want to talk to you about a spiritual second wind. A spiritual second wind. Acts 18, beginning in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. So, all of us, I suppose, at one time or another, need a spiritual second wind. Maybe at one time or another, we get a little depressed or discouraged, and we just want to give up and quit. Maybe in the heat of a moment, we'll say, "I'm just going to leave this job," or "I'm just going to leave this church," or "I'm just going to leave this family. They'll wish they'd treated me differently." And you may have those feelings, like, no use. The harder I try, the worse it gets. I witness, but nobody listens to me. I'm just spinning my wheels where I am. Will I ever find happiness? Will I ever get over this daily grind? It's just mundane. It's just repetitive. And listen, everybody's been there. Don't think you're the only one who's ever felt that way. Runners sometimes reach a place where they think they can't go on, and they can't keep going, and they can't keep running, and then they get what's called their second wind. And the energy comes back. And the breath is there, and they continue to run. Now, think about this spiritually. Moses, the greatest leader, handpicked by God to lead the children of Israel. He had God's power on his life. But in Numbers, he said to God, if you deal thus and thus with me, then just kill me. Boy, he had that problem, didn't he? He got discouraged. He was ready to quit. Joshua, handpicked by God again to lead Israel to succeed Moses. Joshua 7:7, he said, "Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan." In other words, he's saying, this is what we get for serving God? That was after the great defeat at Ai. He felt like quitting. But of course, he got over it. We know about Elijah when he found himself under the juniper tree and he's saying, "Lord, it's enough, take away my life." Job said in Job 3 and verse 3, "Let the day perish in which I was born." Jonah wanted God to kill him. That's why I think he wanted those sailors to throw him overboard. And even when revival came to Nineveh and many, many people turned to Christ, he wasn't happy about that. And now Paul undergoes some persecution and some problems in Corinth here on his second missionary journey. Paul said of this time, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He was fatigued. He was alone. He was bivocational. He was stressed. The Bible says that's what it means when it says pressed in the spirit. He had a sense of failure. I mean, in Athens, they called him a babbler, our word for bird brain. He was frustrated, leaving a city of idolatry and then heading for the worst in the world for immorality. It was literally Sin City. Unappreciated. And later he'd write the church in Corinth and say, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." On this missionary trip alone, he'd been beaten and jailed at Philippi, persecuted at Thessalonica and Berea, ridiculed in Athens, and now he goes to Sin City in Corinth. And he felt like quitting. But the Lord came to Paul and showed him that these trying times are not quitting times. The trying times are not the time to quit. And he didn't quit. He continued. Verse 11 says he continued there a year and 6 months teaching them the word of God. Because it's too soon to quit. Notice verse 9. The Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, and speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." He says, I've got a lot of work to do here, Paul. You have the promise. Listen, you feel discouraged. You feel a little let down. You feel a little disillusioned. You don't think you can go on. Let me give you three promises that God will give you to give you your spiritual second wind. Number one is the promise of his presence. He told Paul, "I'm with thee." And he's with us in times of loneliness. In fact, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And in the language the Bible was written in, there's five negatives there. Literally, we would say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I mean, that's pretty solid, isn't it? I mean, God may tell you three times, but truth is, once is enough for us, isn't it? The Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of the New Testament, begins with Emmanuel, God with us. And it ends with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." Your best friend can stab you in the back, but Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So he's with us in loneliness, but he's also with us in the valley. I mean, when defeat becomes discouragement, when you have sickness, when you have financial problems, when you have heartaches, when you have family problems. Remember, the God of the mountains is still the God of the valleys. Little boy went home after school very sad. He told his mom about Billy, his best friend, who'd been absent for 3 days. He said, "I found out why today when he returned to class. Mom, his daddy died." And when he told us, he cried and just laid his head flat on his desk. And his mom said, "Oh, sweetheart, what did you do?" He said, "Well, I didn't know what to do. So I just laid my head on my desk and cried too." Oh, that's exactly the kind of Savior we have. The Bible says he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In John 11:35, it says Jesus wept. Why? Lazarus has died. Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And that things were going to be better and things were going to be all right. But in the meantime, his heart still broke. Why? Because he wanted us to know he's in the valley with us. He is God's presence with us in loneliness, with us in the valley. He's with us in death. Everybody, in a way, everybody has some fear of death. But the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Oh, my friend, he's with us even in death. The preacher asked the church, "How many want to go to heaven?" And all raised their hands except one old man. He says, "You, sir, don't you want to go someday?" And the old man said, "Well, sure, if you put it that way. But I thought you were getting up a load to go right now." Well, when our time comes, the Lord himself, with dying grace, will take away our fear. He doesn't send an angel to get us. He comes for us himself. It's too soon to quit. You have the promise of his presence, but we also have the promise of his protection. "No man shall set on thee to hurt thee," he said in verse 10. He didn't say no man would set on thee, but he said no man will set on thee to hurt thee. Not that he wouldn't be hurt, but that he wouldn't be harmed. They're not going to take your life until you can say, "Paul, I finished my course." They killed the Lord Jesus, but not until he said, "It is finished." God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And you can live it out, and I can live it out fearlessly. Though there'll be persecution, though there'll be trials, though there'll be hardships. But until your work here is done, God's not finished with you yet, and the devil cannot harm you. Man cannot hurt you. Disease cannot touch you. There's no accidents with God. He alone will call you home when the time is right. Nothing can happen without the Lord's permission. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. God, take me home when you're through with me. And until then, I'm going to continue to serve you. It's too soon to quit. Ahead of us, he's our guide. Behind us, he's our guard. Under us are his everlasting arms. And above us, if we'll look up, he's ever present in a cloud of glory. Frederick Nolan, serving God in North Africa in the midst of terrible persecution, Christians were literally running for their lives. Nolan was fleeing on foot, exhausted, stopped to catch his breath, looked to the right, and he saw a small cave, and he went in to wait his enemies, locating him inevitably to kill him. As he sat, he saw a small spider weaving a web across the mouth of the cave, and eventually the web covered the entire mouth. He sat fascinated as his persecutors arrived, saw the cave, marched toward it, then saw the web. He couldn't be in there. Look at that spider web. He would have had to break the web. And so they turned and left, and then he escaped. Later, he said, with God, a spider web is like a wall. Without God, a wall is like a spider web. Oh, my friend, I'd want to be saved just to have the protection of God. And he will protect you, not only in this life, but for all eternity. We have God's presence. We have God's protection. But we also have God's potential. He said, I have much people in this city. How could God say that? There were only a handful of Christians there. But it's the promise of God of the potential that could be there. God didn't see the perverts in the city for what they were, but what they were going to be. Here's what happened over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul is encouraging these Christians in Corinth, and he tells them in chapter 6, verse 9, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what they were. But then verse 11 says, And such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, don't see people the way the world sees them. Don't see people the way the marketing or the television sees them. See them the way God sees them. I believe God has much people in our city. I believe God has much people in your city. Let's ask God to help us to see the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Give us eyes to see as God would see. Give us eyes to see people as you would see people, Lord. Do you need a spiritual second wind today? Here on this first Monday of June 2023, why don't you focus on God's presence, focus on God's provision, and focus on God's potential, what he can see that we can't see. And may God help us to get our spiritual second wind. Well, I hope you'll get that today, and you'll ask God for it, and God will grant it to you, and we'll just continue keeping on for our Lord, all right? I want you to have a wonderful Monday. I look forward to being with you again on our broadcast tomorrow, and I'll talk a little bit from John chapter 18, I believe, about what hast thou done? What hast thou done? And we'll look forward to our time together in the Scripture, Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow. Have a great Monday, everybody, and until tomorrow, this is Brother Slateball reminding you, be good to everyone. Because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with us. sunny smile.